Radio Prague News.
The Czech Prime Minister has said his country does not want Greece's withdrawal from the Eurozone. President Zeman is hosting a charity ball at Prague Castle, and hundreds of people crowded the streets to watch a partial eclipse of the sun before noon. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has said the Czech Republic does not want Greece's withdrawal from the Eurozone. Speaking to journalists in Brussels, the Czech Prime Minister welcomed the meeting between Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras and leading EU officials, saying that it had effectively helped to reduce the tension that was building up, particularly between Greece and Germany. Mr. Sobotka said that in the present strained circumstances, even a small misunderstanding could have far-reaching consequences. German Chancellor Angela Merkel told journalists following the meeting that Greece must stick to every paragraph of February's bailout extension deal with the Eurozone, adding that if Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras wanted to come up with equivalent reforms, they would be taken into consideration. President Miloš Zeman and the First Lady Ivana are hosting a charity ball at Prague Castle on Friday night, the first social event of this magnitude since the president took office 2 years ago. 440 people are expected to attend. The event will culminate with a lottery in which one of the prizes is a five-course dinner with a presidential couple. The proceeds will go to charities supported by the First Lady. Hundreds of people went out into the streets before noon on Friday to watch a partial eclipse of the sun. The height of the eclipse, which was around 70%, took place at around 10:45 a.m. and due to good weather conditions was visible with bare eyes around most of the country. The eclipse was broadcast live by Czech television and other media. An eclipse of this magnitude is not expected until 2026. A strike by Lufthansa pilots has grounded over 800 flights, including flights to the Czech Republic. Václav Havel International Airport in Prague has confirmed the cancellation of all flights to Frankfurt and Munich on Friday, with all Prague-bound flights from these cities by Lufthansa also having been cancelled. Passengers have been advised to check out the airport's information site for developments, since it appears that the strike could be extended until Saturday. The Russian carrier Aeroflot is discontinuing its direct flights to Karlovy Vary as of April, with the last flight from Moscow to the West Bohemian spa town scheduled for the 5th or 6th of April, the E15 news site reported on Friday. The reason for cancelling the air link, which was established in 2006, is a slump in sales. Karlovy Vary has a strong Russian presence and is immensely popular with Russian tourists, but in recent months the number of Russian tourists to the city has dropped. Overall, the number of Russian tourists to the Czech Republic was down 13% year-on-year in 2014. Czech Radio will invest 35 million crowns to improve security at its main headquarters in Prague and regional branches around the country. The decision was made in the wake of the January attack on the satirical weekly Charlie Hebdo in Paris. After the incident, intelligence services said there were some 20 dormant terrorist cells in Europe that could strike at any time. These security measures will involve tighter security at entrances, a better camera system, more efficient control of movement on the premises, and better security in studios and key workplaces. The improved security system should be in place within 3 years. Madonna, who is expected to perform at Prague's O2 Arena with her Rebel Heart Tour on November 7th, will give two concerts in Prague instead of just one due to immense interest, the agency Live Nation reported. Tickets for her second concert on November 8th will go on sale as of March the 26th. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The weekend is expected to bring partly cloudy skies with some rain and daytime highs reaching 13 degrees Celsius. I'm Danielle, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, the Pilsen region tries to attract doctors to a healthcare black spot. We'll have a roundup of this week's main business stories, and we meet Václav Šilha, one of the Czech Republic's best-known nature and wildlife photographers. All that's coming up in today's program. 800 crowns an hour is being offered by the region of Pilsen to surgeons willing to work weekends at emergency rooms in the area of Tachov. The local hospital closed more than a decade ago, but the offered funds, amounting to 16,000 crowns per single weekend, are apparently not enough. As a result, anyone who suffers injury in Tachov at the weekend has to drive at least 60 kilometres to get help. Jan Wellinger has the details.
Tachov is the broadest area in the Czech Republic not offering locals acute hospital care, a situation the region of Plzeň is hoping to change. The region wants to pay doctors willing to work after 3 p.m. weekdays or at weekends in the area roughly double the regular rate. But so far, the offer has failed. Either the money is not attractive enough or doctors employed in the region lack the time to take additional offers. As a result, those who suffer injuries, require emergency help, have to drive to Plzeň, at least 60 kilometers away. Last year, the region offered 2.6 million crowns per year to create an emergency facility, but it was deemed not enough, and according to Czech TV, generated zero interest. This year, Plzeň sweetened the deal, doubling the offer. It is not yet clear whether this offer will fare any better. According to locals, doctors employed in the region already have enough work on their hands, and it is believed that part of the problem is the drain of skilled doctors and hospital staff across the border to nearby Germany, where they can earn around three times more. So, a private clinic said to be considering the possibility of setting up an emergency facility may ultimately drop the idea. In any case, at least six doctors are needed. Josef Schwetz is the head surgical physician at the clinic in Plana.
From local doctors and surgeons, I know of only one who would be willing to work in the facility, and that is not enough.
Dan Romportl is the head of the same private facility.
The problem is not the finances, but simply a lack of free time on the part of doctors.
The situation in nearby Mariánske Lázně isn't any better. The hospital there, its services reduced, also lacks an emergency surgery. That means that after hours and at the weekends, a lengthy journey also to Plzeň is required. So Tachov and Mariánske Lázně also aren't alone. Other parts of the country, namely in border areas, are said to suffer similar problems in healthcare.
That report was by Jan Wellinger. And now I'm joined by Chris Johnstone for a look at this week's main Czech business news.
Two of the big three Czech telecoms companies look like they will be facing off in court. Vodafone has lodged a complaint with a Prague court saying that O2 abused its dominant position and shut it out of the fast internet market. Vodafone says it's seeking just under 400 million crowns in damages. O2 provides around 80% of the connections to fast internet services in the country. Vodafone says the charges levied by O2 for connections were exorbitant and meant that it could not offer them to companies and individuals. It says the damages were run up between 2011 and 2014 and are continuing at a rate of around 100 million crowns a year.
The biggest Czech mineral water producer, Karlovarsky Minerální Vody, or KMV, is continuing its European expansion with the purchase of one of Hungary's leading bottled water companies. Kekuti Asvanyez's best-known product is the Teodora brand of bottled water. The price paid to Nestle Waters was not disclosed. KMV says it plans to give its Hungarian purchase the same high profile and results it's achieved in the Czech Republic and Austria. It's the leader on the Czech mineral water market and is second place on the Austrian market after buying a local company there in 2008.
One of China's big four banks, China Construction Bank, says it wants to open its first branch in the Czech Republic, according to the Czech Ministry of Finance. The announcement followed a meeting between the bank's top management and ministry officials. China Construction follows hard on the heels of rival Bank of China, which was the first Chinese bank to announce a Czech presence, with the branch expected to be operating by the end of this year. Separately, direct flights between Prague and Beijing or Shanghai should also be agreed soon, according to the Ministry of Industry and Trade.
Car maker Škoda Auto is to revamp its sales network and after-sales service in India in order to boost disappointing results. That's according to the Business Daily E15. The Czech Republic's biggest car maker sold around 15,500 cars in the subcontinent last year. The paper said Škoda Auto's models are not price competitive on the local market with leading Japanese and South Korean rivals. It added that the reputation for after-sales service is also weak. An attempt will be made to introduce the Fabia hatchback to the Indian market after it was earlier withdrawn amid poor sales, the paper said.
A Czech family firm has scored even before the first games of the Ice Hockey World Championships take place in Prague and Ostrava at the start of May. Gufex is again supplying around 1,000 pucks to the World Championships as part of a long-term deal with the International Ice Hockey Federation. The company produces around 1 million pucks a year, with around 90% of the production exported. The Czech pucks have also been used at the Nagano, Salt Lake City and Turin Winter Olympics, but a rival Russian supplier was roped in for the Sochi Games in 2014.
Václav Šilha is one of the Czech Republic's best-known nature and wildlife photographers, whose work has been published in National Geographic magazine and BBC Wildlife. Last year, Šilha visited and photographed on the Sandwich Islands near the Last Continent, or Antarctica. Jan Wellinger spoke to the photographer in this week's edition of The Arts.
Many fans of nature and wildlife photography will be familiar with Václav Šilha's work featured in the highly respected National Geographic magazine and other publications. Portraits of cheetahs in the late afternoon, bears opened fiercely fighting, a lion tearing into its prey. Šilha has traveled the world as a photographer, and to some it will come as a surprise, the 51-year-old only took up the art of photography 14 years ago, a fairly short period, he himself admits. He picked up what has become his life's calling by mere chance on travels to French Polynesia with his wife, a well-known journalist. Since, he hasn't looked back. He told me he was hooked immediately, soon discovering he preferred to focus on wildlife and nature. He began to photograph in Africa and traveled extensively, but Antarctica had eluded him until last year. He told me more about his journey to the frozen continent and surroundings when we met up recently.
I was there three times for 3 2-month periods, travelling aboard a small yacht known as the Golden Fleece, 18 metres long. That's small, of course, and my first thoughts were, my God, what am I going to do aboard this vessel? Because space is restricted, things are quite uncomfortable. You are limited in how often you can wash, you have to ration food and so on. On the other hand, it is a real adventure, and that was the most exciting.
The Golden Fleece is captained by Falklands-based Frenchman Jérôme Poncet, who has sailed in the Antarctic area for the last 4 decades, an excellent guide to the region who took Šilha to remarkable areas he otherwise would have never seen. The photographer again.
Jerome is a remarkable guy. He led all 3 expeditions, and I'm really happy I got to know him. You mentioned the Irishman from Braveheart who says, "It's my island." That describes him perfectly. When he shows you around, he presents areas in the Antarctic as his discoveries. He makes it clear you are a guest on his land.
Tady se chovejte jako hosti, protože tohleto je moje zem.
As a first-timer in Antarctica, the photographer says he relied on the captain's expertise to choose stunning locations, for example in South Georgia Island and the South Sandwich Islands.
You get 2 kinds of day, either gorgeous blue sky with a little wisp of cloud or grey steel. The latter is notoriously hard to shoot, so those are the days you might switch to black and white, which can bring out the tones better. As for taking photographs there, you are often working within geometric composition, the sky, the earth, the animals. On the Sandwich Islands, I experienced something I had never seen before, a colony of 3 million penguins. Taking a portrait of one penguin under such circumstances makes little sense. I shot wide scenery and large tableau, paying attention to the composition and geometry.
Often in Antarctica and surroundings, one felt entirely alone. Other places, though, were teeming with life, including king penguins, seals, and offshore, killer whales.
I had read a lot about killer whales and had a great desire to photograph them, but I never imagined what it would be like to capture them on camera during the hunt. They hunted in groups of six or so, fully organized, moving in a sweep against seals or penguins. Their natural intelligence really came through.
Photographing wildlife can come with fairly obvious risks. When photographing in Africa, Shilha understandably relies on longer lenses to shoot big cats. But his appreciation of fixed lenses sometimes brings him closer to the action than is ideal. He is wary of getting too close. In his words, no photograph is worth receiving a prize in memoriam. At the same time, the viewfinder can sometimes make one feel removed or things seem unreal, the photographer again.
Looking through the viewfinder can be a problem. Sometimes I forgot where I am because my primary concern is the light and composition. So it happens that I realize I am probably closer to a wild animal than I should be.
Many times, these stunning results have paid off, published in the world's best wildlife magazines. He presses the shutter button hundreds of times, but considers five photographs an excellent result.
Twenty would be too many. If I came back from a trip, if there are five photographs which I can exhibit, then I am happy. In the past, I used to press the release button much more often, taking thousands of photos. The ratio has gone down to hundreds, with still only a few great pictures chosen.
How does he reflect on the time he spent in Antarctica? There was a heightened weirdness, he suggests, when returning home from such a harsh and desolate part of the world just 2 days before Christmas. Sometimes it can be tricky to adjust.
It was strange. I came home 2 days before the holidays from the Sandwich Islands, where we hadn't seen another person or boat for 2 months. And I came home and everything was on consumerist overdrive, and it was just too much. Jingle bells, playing everywhere. It left me spinning.
Being away, he says, one experiences time differently, not least in the wide spaces of a continent like Antarctica. Priorities too change when things boil down to basic survival.
My basic take is that as long as we have toilets flushing, drinking water down the pipes, things here aren't too bad. All it takes is to travel a little beyond one's own borders to understand we don't have cause to complain much.
If you've got any comments about today's program, please do share them with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook or even via Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.